Miller Lite, the official beer partner of your Philadelphia Phillies, is proud to serve as presenting sponsor of WIP's High Hopes Pod. So whether you're listening to the game, catching up on the latest High Hopes Pod, or at the ballpark, remember, it tastes like Miller time, Phillies fans. Celebrate responsibly.
Baseball fans, think you know who's hitting a homer today? Well, FanDuel is giving you a free chance to call your shot with daily dingers. Joining the action is easy. Just make your free pick on who's hitting a home run in their game, and if you're right, you'll get a profit boost to use on your next bet for a chance at extra winnings. You've got nothing to lose and a lot to gain. And don't forget, you can make a free pick every day during the MLB season. It's just another reason why FanDuel is the home for home runs. So, are you ready to play your game today? Join all the action at FanDuel.com/podcast. That's FanDuel.com/podcast to play daily dingers and make your free pick on who's hitting a homer. Play ball and swing for the fences on FanDuel, an official partner of the MLB.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I've always dreamed of being able to order my coffee in Italian like a local, instead of just pointing at the menu and hoping for the best. There's something about speaking another language with real confidence that opens up a whole new world of experiences. That's why I'm so excited about Rosetta Stone Sapphire. It's their biggest launch in over a decade. It takes that research-backed method we all know and trust and adds fresh, cutting-edge features that make it easier than ever to go from knowing a few phrases to speaking naturally about the topics you actually care about. What I love is that you aren't just memorizing vocabulary lists. You learn entirely in your new language through visuals and audio, just like you did as a kid. One of my favorite new features is Chat Missions. It turns conversation practice into a game, putting you in real-world scenarios, like ordering at a restaurant or asking for directions, and giving you missions to complete. You get real-time feedback along the way, so you build that confidence before you ever have to use your skills in the real world. If you want to take your language skills to the next level, don't wait to try Rosetta Stone Sapphire. Listeners of this podcast can get 20% off their Rosetta Stone Sapphire subscription when they sign up today. This gets you access to Rosetta Stone Sapphire in 25 languages. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10 to redeem your 20% off. That's rosettastone.com/rs10.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
This is the High Hopes Podcast. High Hopes. On the Odyssey app and Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Crowd was singing high hopes, smiling through a broken nose. Oh, high hopes, high hopes.
I feel a little less alone.
Yo, it is another edition of the High Hopes Podcast, sponsored by Miller Lite, official partner of the Philadelphia Phillies. Tastes like Miller time, Philadelphia. Celebrate responsibly. Coming out with us at La Scala's Fire on August 13th in the Northeast. We got High Hopes Night for the Field of Dreams game. We're going to have baseball movie trivia. It's going to be a blast. Please come hang out with us. We can all be together. There will be trades by then. It'll be better. That's the best I got. We'll get to the perfect deadline later, which will be fun. Yes. It should have been just a fun pod coming off like 2-3 from a Marlins team that had lost 12 straight. But instead, they get swept. And the quote-unquote Cold War between Dave Dombrowski and Bryce Harper are like missiles firing all over the place. It's not cold anymore. Matt Gelb's writing stories about how, like, guess what? Don't like each other. Like, it is. I mean, Harper comes out and says what he says. We need help. Mattingly comes out and just absolutely crushes Hart. I can't believe Mattingly came out and said what he did. I understand it from the organization perspective. I understand Bryce. We're going to get into all of it. We'll get to the deadline later, but Here's where I'm at, Jack. And it's hard to say that the low point of the season could be today when the manager got fired at 9-19 or 10-19 or whatever. But it feels like this is like the second low point of the season.
Yeah. My feeling is this is now combustible. Like, I didn't think that the Dombrowski Harper thing would trickle over and, you know, turn into something that could legitimately harm the team. I thought that they would be able to, well, Harper really, put it aside and say it happened, but let's go win. He keeps bringing it up, you know, and he keeps putting pressure on Dombrowski, almost like getting one back at him, which is a tad annoying, but I also understand it.
Yeah, I fully agree.
It's his legacy that's on the line. Like, that's the thing that
and he's like, right. Like, he's right. They need help. Like, what he is saying is fully true. We'll get into the teammate stuff and all that, but this team as constituted right now is absolutely not good enough.
It's not. It's not so much about him being right. I think we all agree that he's right. It's just, is this the right way to go about it?
No, I agree. He should have put it on himself more and all that. But, like, I am okay, and we'll just dive right into it. I am okay with Bryce saying what he said. Like, I think he should have said, found a way to, like, maybe put it more on himself and to say, like, I understand the aspect of the teammates part of it. I get that. But we're talking about if they're making trades, guys won't be on the playoff roster anyway. Like, I'm sorry, Gabriel Rinconis, if this hurts your feelings, but I can't have you on my playoff roster. Like, I am sorry, Seth Johnson, coming into the tie game in the seventh inning, Seth Johnson. Bolin comes in the tie game, and when Bolin should have been up to, whatever, like, I can't, these guys aren't going to be on the roster anyway. Who cares? I'm sorry if Bryce Harper hurt your feelings, Seth Johnson, but you're not a part of my team. Like, you can't be. So, like, I get that there is a little bit of a culture teammate issue with the way Bryce said it. I don't think he handled it perfectly, but I also appreciate Bryce trying to put a little pressure on the front office to do something when, I mean, not that I even know if they should do something, but, you know, I'm torn on this whole thing, but I'm not upset with Bryce for saying what he said. I just don't think he said it the best way he could have said it.
Yeah. So I feel a couple things. So I am okay with him putting pressure on the front office to do things. I also think it is a little bit, I think it's a little bit for show because I think they're going to anyway. And I feel like,
what Mattingly said. Mattingly said, everyone knows you don't need to say it, which I get.
Yeah. I was okay with Bryce doing it. I thought it was mostly a nothing burger. My big issue, and, you know, let me kind of just throw this out there. Like, in listening to Mattingly like 3 or 4 times, it eventually hit me. And why I do feel like that this is combustible is if I'm Bryce Harper and I heard Don Mattingly say that, I think he thinks that I'm an idiot. And with the way he said, these guys just want to be GMs, they want to spend everyone's money. They don't really understand, you know, what it takes to build a team or what these guys do from the, like, prospect wise. They just want to trade every prospect. If I'm Bryce Harper, that's an insult to my intelligence. And Bryce is someone who pays attention to every level of the minor leagues. He wants to make sure that they're a healthy organization. I'm sure he's frustrated that there hasn't been more talent coming up through the pipeline to, you know, supplement the rest of the roster. I actually don't believe that Bryce is one of those players that wants to trade every prospect in order to win now. I think he cares about the health of an organization. He actually has said multiple times that I understand we can't trade every prospect because we need those guys to come up and help us. Like, I think he's fully aware of that. And in Mattingly almost belittling Bryce's knowledge of that, that is where I think that this has the combustibility factor to it. Because now that is, I think that was a shot below the belt a little bit too much and got a little bit too personal. And I would be offended if I was Bryce of, like, you really think I'm dumb enough that I don't understand that I can't spend everyone's money and trade, like, really? So, and to me, it sounded like Don was parroting something that Dombrowski had told him.
Yeah, that's a concern. Yeah,
so that's
especially, look, when Don's son is in the front office, like there is that, whether or not there's a true thing there, like there's always going to be that impression that they're family members. Of course, they speak that it could be coming from Dave and them. Like, I can understand how if you're a player and you see that, you could have that type of impression, you know?
Well, and this is something Mattingly was very... Don, not Preston.
Yeah, yeah.
Don was concerned about coming in.
Yeah, yeah.
Very conscious of the locker room as a sacred place. I have to make sure that these guys understand that I'm not going to just run to Preston if there's anything wrong. You know, if there's anything that, and I'm not going to just take whatever the front office says and bring it down here. And in what he said makes it feel like if I was Bryce, that there may have been a breach of trust. From that standpoint, because that's what it sounded like. It was surprising to hear. I don't know if I've ever heard a manager start talking about they don't understand, players don't understand what it's like to be a GM. And when he says GM, I think people jump to the Preston thing. I do think that he's talking more about Dombrowski, and GM's just the easy thing to say.
He was absolutely talking about Dombrowski there, for like, sure.
It's just easier to say GM than president of baseball operations.
Mattingly's whole career until like the last decade, those guys were GMs. You know what I mean? Like, this is a new thing, calling them presidents and stuff. When he says GM, he's talking about the classic GM. I
would agree. For the first time, because when they lost the series and obviously got swept, that was horrendous.
And got swept and also had a 1-0 loss in there where they look like crap. And then also up 6-0 yesterday. And we do have to mention, I know he said it at the top, but got swept by a team that had lost 12 straight coming in. Like, that is part of the story.
Yeah, for sure. And we'll get more into the game and whatnot.
Yeah, but obviously yeah. This is we have to?
Yeah. Well,
yes. No, we will. Yeah,
this is the biggest story. And, you know, teams can handle ruts. Teams can handle down periods. And like the Yankees had lost 11-13 heading into the All-Star break. The Red Sox obviously have been dreadful, then ripped off 12 straight. Like, there's
15 straight the Red Sox ripped straight, off.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. So there's plenty of time. There's still 2 months of baseball left. Like, how everything going on right now is small potatoes. It sucks. It's annoying. It's about the worst timing possible heading into the trade deadline. But a thing like this is something that I think could actually like sink the season. I hope it doesn't, obviously. And I do think that winning can cure all. But I for the first time, like, those comments really didn't sit well with me. And Don Mattingly is definitely seemingly in I don't give a bleep territory. I'm an interim manager. I'm Don Mattingly. And if I'm back next year, great. If not, whatever. With the way that Gelb wrote it about how the relationship has not been repaired between those two.
Dude, let me quickly, before you go on, let me read the one line in the thing that really stood out to me. This is from the Gelb article. He wrote this. Neither Harper nor Dombrowski, two powerful men with huge egos, particularly cares for the other. They should probably figure it out. Really? I mean, that's in an a sourced, like, reported article. He's saying these guys don't like each other is what he is saying. And that is, to your point, Jack, today's the first time I've thought, is Bryce Harper going to be here in 2 years? You know, I know we've had those kind of, like, I never really bought into that. Like, this is the first time, if there's a real, especially because one other thing we should mention in this article, which is a whole other angle on this, like, Gelb implies in the article that Dave Dombrowski is on the verge of a contract extension. That is something that is said in this article. Mm-hmm. And if Harper and Dombrowski at this point in season, like, how does this get better? How do they fix this moving forward? This feels like a to your point, like a real moment for these two guys, for this organization, for how this plays out moving forward, for potentially choosing one of those guys moving forward.
Yeah. And he also, well, the one thing that I think could be a fly in the ointment there, because on the surface I agree, it's like, holy cow, this might turn into him or me. I think the one thing is that Gelb also said immediately after that they're going to probably put out what their succession plan is.
Yes.
So if Bryce knows that there's a expiration date,
but what if it, I get it, but so Dombrowski signed through next year now, right?
Yeah.
So let's say they add two more years to that, or just a, you know, it could be three, but let's say they add two. I mean, then like at what point, Bryce, has 2 years left at that point. Like, does he even care what the succession plan is? Like, you're talking about when, like, does it, I guarantee you that each year of Bryce Harper's career is the most important, or is more important than the next, because each year he's getting older. Like right now, next year, year up, like those are the most important years to Bryce, because those are the years where he knows he has the best, highest likelihood of being good, of contributing, of helping him get there. So I agree with you, but I also don't know that if they say Dabrowski's here 2 more years, then it's Preston, like that solves the issue for Harper, you know? I think what Harper would want to hear is Dabrowski's out after next year. You know what I mean?
Well, I'll tell you one podcast who would endorse that idea. I think it'd be this podcast.
Buddy. Give it, please. Right now. I would do it. I'm stepping down for the trade deadline. Manning will take over. I'll be like, thank you. Because honestly, like, that's my issue with this too, is I do not like the Dabrowski part of this. Because I think Bryce is right to say we need help. I mean, you look back at this past offseason and you know how down I was. I gave him an F and I feel so vindicated in my giving them an F. I mean, they reassigned Kyle Schwarber. That's good. Every other move they made has been bad. Every single one. I mean, you go through the, I know he got hurt, but Brad Keller stunk and then got hurt. Is that for 13 to 16 months, whatever the hell? That's a lost contract. JT resigning, like, he's a good defensive player. He's fine. But we're talking about $15 million a year for JT. It's not like it's a good contract. Outside of that, I mean, Adolis. I mean, he got hurt, but also struggled up until then. I mean, like, none of these moves, on top of the fact that they ran it back to begin with. And to the Harper point, like, again, like, and you've said this so many times, but Harper, each night he gets in the lineup and he sees, oh, there's my 650 OPS behind me. Sweet. Again, night after night. It's like, I would be annoyed with Dabrowski too, man. We know how desperately Bryce Harper wants to win a championship. It's the, I believe the thing that matters most to this guy in the world. And he has a very finite amount of time left to do that. Very finite compared to the 14 years he's been in the league. Like, he's at the end. And when year after year after year, Alec Bohm still hits behind you, like, I am not like, Bryce is 100% right. I think he handled it poorly, but I do philosophically agree with where Bryce is coming from.
Yeah, I think we all do. And it's been an interesting Bryce season. It's been a lot more.
Yeah. Well, that's the annoying part too, is like, Bryce has been good all year. And then he has the down slump in this when it's happening. So it's allowing a lot of people to be like, well, Bryce is playing like crap too. And it's like, yeah, but he hasn't all year, you know?
Well, I think that is the, again, there's been a lot of dumb reactions to the Bryce thing. The one being, whoa, he's hitting 160 this month, so what does he have to say? It's like, he also helped climb. He was one of the biggest reasons why they climbed out of a 9-19 hole. When he made the All-Star team, he had a 9-12 OPS. Yes, he has had a bad month. Those things happen. It's like worst stretch as a Philly or third worst stretch as a Philly, whatever. I don't know what to tell you. But yeah, this, and I think the biggest thing that has to happen, and I don't know if we talked about this in the offseason when this whole thing kind of started, but there has to be a Pat Croce, Larry Brown, Allen Iverson type meeting with Middleton, Dabrowski, and Harper. And I'm sure they may have tried, or I don't know if they have had a meeting. I think there was some report.
Well, there was a report prior to the season that after all the stuff happened, whenever that they met, it was in the Inquirer. I think it was Scott Lauber, but I'm not 100% sure. But the Inquirer reported that those guys got in a room. We don't know, Pat, that it was a productive or whatever, you know?
Yeah. So, you know, and I'm sure Dabrowski's like, all right, we'll keep it in house. And then now Harper's like, well, guess what? I think you need to make a move with the trade deadline.
I know, right? Well, so that part, it's like, but then Mattingly goes over the top and takes it even further out of house. And it's like, and I get it. Bryce did it. Bryce brought it out of house. But it's like, you know how this guy reacts. You know how, like, he's a prima donna. Like, it's okay. He's been famous since he's 16 years old. He's lived a different life than other people. Like, these people are not normal. I always say this with, like, these famous, like, Tom Cruise has been world famous since he's like 25 years old. Like, yeah, not that surprising. He's not a normal human. Like, you know, it's just, you do have to meet people where they're at. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm.
And yeah, Bryce is certainly a different cat. And
he is.
I did love the, hey, I brought my outfield glove just in case.
I know.
He is really, because, and the other thing that I wanted to bring up is, because you brought it up, and I don't, it's not that it's not fair, but, like, he's talked 3 or 4 times before Tuesday night, and the whole time he said, I have to play better. Like, I'm going through a bad stretch. Like, I think people always jump to, he's not taking any accountability for any. It's like, he has talked three times heading into the trade deadline in each article. Now, this was another one that was on camera. Like, he went through detailed his entire slump with Gelb and Zalecki and, like, the beat reporters the other day. So, he is taking kind of, it's not, but it's also the reason why they have to make a trade and they need to go get a bat or two bats is, I understand the stars have to be stars, but as I've said, I don't know, countless times on this podcast, you know, Ryan Howard did not hit a home run until game three of the World Series in 2008. Other guys stepped up. Victorino stepped up. Worth stepped up.
The Matt Stair stepped up, like whoever. Yes.
So the point of going to get bats is not, you can't say three guys that they carry you to a championship. It's just not realistic.
One of those guys is Brandon Marsh. Like, I love Marsh, but like, are we sure Brandon Marsh is the locked hit in the playoffs? Of course not. What are we talking about here?
The only guys you can almost put it on is a starting pitcher. You know, Hamels, 08, Lee, 09. Wheeler in 22, where it's like that they can pitch you to a win. They can pitch you to two wins in a series because they're that good. I just think hitting's opposite. I think hitting's totally different. You have to find other bats that can just lengthen the lineup out and give you more chances with real bats to have a moment in the postseason. The biggest hit last year in the World Series was Miguel Rojas.
Yeah,
it was not Otani, right. Betts, right. Freeman, yeah. Teoscar. It was not those guys.
You're right.
So that's why, when people say the stars have to be stars, I think it's just I don't disagree, but I just think it's an age old thing to say when it doesn't always bear out that way. And I don't know how realistic it is.
I mean, think about the series that we played against the Dodgers, right? Who had the biggest hits in that? I mean, Teoscar in that first game with the homer. I mean, they didn't, Otani didn't. Kike, that's my point, though. It wasn't Otani. It wasn't Betts. It wasn't Freeman, really. Like, it was the other guys lifting it up and coming through and stuff matters. You're so right, dude.
Yeah. So, I'm definitely nervous. I wish they were playing better because I think that you wouldn't be hearing this. I think there'd be more of a groundswell for them to go out and do something. Now it feels like they have to do something to just salvage this thing. But, they're playing right now. I think we said it last podcast, but they're playing right now. Like, they're just waiting for something to happen, which is exactly what they were doing, was they were waiting to get Rob Thompson fired. And that's an annoying way to play. Now, at the same time, like, the 1-0 game was brutal. They did. I was proud of the way they fought back Monday and with the way that Wheeler pitched and, you know, being able to.
And look, Duran blowing a game. It's like, you know.
No, it just sucks. I mean, it's a cherry on top of what has been a horrible stretch. It's like, okay, you actually fought back. You showed good grit. You got an insurance run. You played good situational baseball at least on offense. Defense is always a mystery.
Adventure, yes.
And then, you know, Duran does that. And then they come out deflated. And then yesterday, oh my God, just 6-0. You have Lizardo on the mound. That game has to be done. That has to be over. That has to be, like, that has to be shut down. And the fact that they blew that had to be a somber
plane ride. Oh, my God. That flight must have been horrible, dude. Yes. I want to get to the weekend. One last thing on this. Just, I want to reiterate, because I don't want it to be, like, full, like, I do have issues with the way Bryce did it. Like, I want to hammer home. Like, I'm not, like, just saying, yay, Bryce, you were right. Like, I do agree, especially if they don't make certain moves. If there are guys who have to be on the club later, like, I'm sure it sucks if Gabriel Cronus is on the club and Bryce talked about him not, you know, theoretically him not, and he has to be here. Like, I get that can create problems, but to Jack's point, I think they're going to make moves. I don't think those guys will be on the roster, but I just want to make it like, I'm not like fully like, Bryce, you're perfect. Like, I do take issue with the way he did it. I just am more okay with what he said because of where they're at and that I believe it's true.
And this is the other thing is, and I agree with you, I'm not making a million excuses for Bryce because
I just didn't want it to come off that way, you know?
But the other thing is, I don't know how much these guys like pay attention to that stuff. I just don't, you know? I think Bryce has almost gotten to a point where it's just Bryce being Bryce, you know? And like, I'll put my head, like, I don't think they're walking in. I don't think Seth Johnson or whatever is walking in there.
Can you believe what Bryce said, jerk?
Yeah. Or he kind of side eyes Bryce.
He's just trying to get out.
Yeah. He's just side-eyeing Bryce on the way in. I think there's a balance between telling the truth, which he did, and also accepting the reality as to where they are. People made it seem like he was talking about not the bottom of the roster in a way. Like, they haven't won a game by their fifth starter since May 18th.
Yeah.
They have to pitch Seth Johnson. Well, again, they don't have to pitch Seth Johnson down or up to in a with an off day the next day. But they're deficient in the bullpen. Now, part of that is because of how they have managed the starting pitching. And Gelb wrote in that article, and it's a really, I mean, it's fun and also a sickening thing to point out, but he essentially said, you know, Brian De La Cruz is the right fielder now, and they believe in him. They're giving a lot of runway. He wasn't an option until 5 days ago. This is a team that has...
He was in the minor leagues until 5 days ago or 10 days ago, whatever it was when he got brought up and started playing. Yeah.
Like, this is a World Series, a team with World Series aspirations, and they are now convinced or whatever that Brian De La Cruz can actually be the answer to their right-handed hitting outfielder issues. And there's no bigger lock than he's going to have a huge, three games here.
Yeah, he already is. He's been good. Yeah, he's been their best hitter.
And they're going to be like, you know what? We're good.
We're good.
We got our guy. Oh, God. So it's a dark time. Right now is definitely a dark and just fascinating kind of, almost like a crescendo or a climax point for this team of what are they going to do and how are they going to climb out of this and are they going to be okay? Because I believe that they are a well-executed deadline away from still being one of the better teams in baseball. I mean, they're going through a rut at a bad time. But if Dave can crush this deadline like he crushed last year's deadline, and actually in the trade department, I think he's been heating up a little bit.
He's been better. Yeah, much better than signings, that's for sure.
Yeah, all signings, 100%.
Disaster.
The Keller things were really unfortunate. I thought
it's unfortunate.
Yeah. But, Caba for Lizardo, Duran.
Though Hoppy for Marsh trade looking great now. And
now hindsight. It is. Yes,
yeah, it's
yes,
in the
yes.
moment, not as good. But
I'm just talking like in the last... Since last offseason,
sure, yeah, both trades at the trade deadline last year were awesome. Lizardo, Derek Hill, yeah, you're right.
So that gives me some hope. That gives me some hope heading into the most important deadline of our lives.
No.
Of our lives.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE,
and I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today, and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With MaintainX, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try MaintainX for free today. Go to MaintainX.com/AI. That's Maintain and the letter X.com/AI.
This summer, I'm shopping the small space solutions that America waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. Bob's has everything from retro chic bedroom sets with plenty of storage, party-ready dining sets in four fun colors, stylish and space-conscious Bobopedic sofas to feature-packed power recliners that let me kick back all summer long. So, when you're ready to snag latest trends in small space styling, stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
All right.
We'll get to that deadline in a minute. Let's look back at the weekend, the Monday through Wednesday series. Look, we've already kind of touched on it a bit, but look, I wanted to come out of the NOLA game being like, wow, all right, Aaron, nice little outing for you, buddy. Look pretty good. One run, home run. That was it, and no hitting in that one. Obviously, I think yesterday it was really. I can't decide what's worse. Teams lose 12 straight. You're up 7-5. You blow that one in the ninth with a closer. Hasn't given up. It was blown one save all year. Hasn't given up. First time he's given up five hits in a game. Then you just show up with nothing the next day and get completely shut down. And then you're up 6-9. Like they found a way to lose this three game series. Each of the three games in almost equally, I mean, the last one was the worst, but almost equally painful ways that are all completely different. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, we're back to Lone Depot Park is the house of horrors for this team.
Oh, I hate that place. Yeah, I saw your 19-11 tweet. Fully agree. That was a great tweet by you. Well,
so 19-11, Starling Marte off of Brandon Workman. That was definitely, right? Yeah, no, that was the 2020 series when they lost.
Yeah,
five.
It started with Pache, right? Didn't they win the one game on the Pache homer and then it just fell apart after? Or was that they tied it or so? I can't remember.
No, Pache gave them the lead and they won. That was the Friday before the All-Star break, and then they lost Saturday and Sunday. But the Friday felt like the emotional lift and whatever.
Yeah.
So, yes, we're back on Marlins Park is the worst place on earth. And, sorry, Lone Depot Park. So a couple things that stick out. Tuesday, and you're going to hate this.
Uh-oh.
They did hit the ball hard. It just happened to be right at people. They did. Gosh. Marcy made a play in center field.
Okay.
You know, it is what it is.
I will say, that freaking ballpark, man. Fly balls just go to die there. It is. I hate watching games there.
Why would you ever build a big ballpark?
It's so not fun to watch baseball there. It's like so many flyouts. Like that one Marsh hit, like, it didn't even go that deep. It's an annoying place to watch a baseball. It's not fun. It's like, oh, another flyout. Fun to watch. Good stuff, guys. You really built this park great.
I'm not saying build a bandbox like Yankee Stadium, where it's just like you get so many cheap home runs. But like, isn't it so much more fun with like the dimensions of CBP?
Of course.
Where home runs are home runs. You can score a lot of runs. It's not such an advantage that you don't have good pitching. I mean, the Phillies have had great pitching while being at CBP. It's just like, what's the point of building a big ballpark? Who's that fun for? And it's like, it's pointless. So Monday, the big concern was obviously Wheeler. And I thought it was
the velocity down.
It was nice after the game, I guess, that he said the ball just wasn't coming out well. I wonder if he's going through a little bit of a dead arm period after he has come back, you know, on fire from the surgery. I wonder if now we're dealing with a little bit of fatigue. This was actually my fear with him before I watched all the minor league starts and got even more fearful. My real fear with him was, is he going to get tired throughout the season because he maybe didn't have the most the off season
that he normally. Yeah.
So that was my other fear. So, you know, we'll kind of, I guess, monitor that situation when he pitches over the weekend. And Baltimore was a place that blasted him. What was that, 2 years ago?
Yeah, 24? 7 runs, I think it was. Yeah, like 4 homers or something. It was nuts.
4 homers, yes. Definitely 4 homers. I remember that. So we'll see where he is. Hopefully he's fine. He apparently was sick, but I appreciate after the game, he was like, that had nothing to do with it. Although I'm sure it had something to do with it.
Well, I think him talking after the game alone was a good sign. You know, I think if he was really hurt in any way, he's not talking.
Sure. It was like very concerning when I think Gelb tweeted that there was the Phillies brass met in the dugout and said, you're out of here. I was like,
Oh, well, that's what I mean. When that happened in the moment, it's like, this is bad. Hearing him speak after, I felt better.
Yeah. So that was something to monitor off of that. Jaron not worried about it at all. It was annoying because the bullpen actually did their job in the middle portion and somehow kept that game close. That was great.
A miracle.
A miracle.
It was like 5 shutout.
And then let's get to yesterday.
The Seth Johnson decision. I mean, let me ask you this and then you can go deep. Is that Mattingly's worst move as a manager so far? Like in game, I mean.
Well, there's been a couple. I mean, I think you can almost pick them out, you know, pulling Wheeler, pulling Sanchez, you know, can't decide what to do with Nola. There's been a plethora, you want to say, in the last month and a half. I mean, that Buzz said it last night, our good friend Dan Wilson. It was Girardi-esque. It was.
Did you see Buzz's tweet? Buzz really went for it. He said combining the comments he made about Harper and the Johnson decision that game, he thought it was the worst day a Phillies manager has had in a long time, is what he tweeted. I was like, wow, Buzz, bring it.
Yeah. It's almost like when Kapler, remember when Gabe, before the games, told the reporters that, hey, I benched Caesar today?
Oh, yeah.
For Cesar.
I forgot.
And then they went to Cesar and they were like, hey, what? Did you get benched? And he's like, no, I just said I had an off day.
Yeah, what are you talking about?
Such a good day. Oh. So I miss Gabe.
Yeah, right now I could go for a little game. I'm with you.
Oh my gosh, he was something.
He is a passionate man.
this is a message to the Phillies front office that I know you're busy, and I'm sure that there's possible.
Oh, do they have anything going on right now?
Trace going on. For the sake of the franchise, just please DFA Seth Johnson. Don Mattingly wakes up every morning. He wakes up every morning, and when his eyes open and he's looking at the ceiling, do you want to know what Don Mattingly does, James?
Thinks about how I can get seven.
How can I get Seth Johnson in this game tonight? I don't care if it's a one-run lead. I don't care if we're down one. At least I'm gonna warm him up. Hey, the camera's gonna pan to him and it's gonna say, hey, why is Seth Johnson up for the sixth day in a row? I don't know, because I'm gonna find a way to get him in a baseball game. For the sake of the franchise, you have to send him down. Like, don't allow him in the building. And it's nothing against Seth, who seems like a good kid, but every time he's on the mound, it reminds me of Casper the Ghost. Why does he always look so afraid of?
Well, that's what I was gonna say. It's like he doesn't want to be in there. Mattingly finds a way to put him in. Seth is like, no, I'm good. Like, every time he steps on the mound, you could see it in his face. I very rarely watch pitchers and feel, and maybe I'm projecting, obviously, but I very rarely, Jack, can look at him and they look afraid. Like, he has a look of like, I don't think I can get these guys out.
Like, yesterday, do you think when that inning was falling apart in front of our eyes, the bullpen phone rings, it's Caleb, and the bullpen coach goes, hey, Seth, get up. You think Seth in his head is like, oh, God, no.
Yeah, I do. Please, a little bit. No. A part of him is, yeah.
He is the most overmatched, trying to be a leverage arm on a team that's trying to win a freaking World Series than I have ever seen. Like, the bullpens of the last couple years haven't had this. Like, they haven't had, like, I guess Brogdon. I guess the 1 year of Brogdon.
Sure.
Where it was like, he's just batting practice. But I don't think, well, maybe in the beginning they tried.
But at least Brogdon had some success at the major league level prior to that. I mean, Seth Johnson's never done anything in the majors.
I don't think they tried to shove down your throat that Connor Brogdon was a leverage arm. The manager does not understand what leverage situations are. That is an easy spot, and I don't care that Bolden allowed a run in the next inning. Who knows how it goes if he is in the game in the seventh where he should have been, because it's more important to hold the lead rather than blow the lead. And I tell you what, I would rather have Bolden against the top of the Marlins lineup. Like, if Bolden was ready, he's facing Otto Lopez there instead of it being Lizardo the fourth time through. That is... it's malpractice. It's right there in front of you. It is Bolden there to hold the lead, and you figure out the eighth, and then you get the ball to Duran, hopefully still with the lead. But the most important thing you can do is still hold the lead, and that is what didn't happen yesterday. So I know they were down, guys. I get it. They were down Kirkering. They were down Alvarado. They were down some dudes. But you had Bolden with an off day. You get him in the seventh. You even could bring him back out for the eighth if he got that last out, and you figure it out from there. You have Meza up for lefties, and you don't have this just dreadful feeling in the city today because the manager does not understand leverage situations. He just doesn't.
Yeah, I got nothing to add. I think you said it perfectly, and it's the biggest. Mattingly, I think, is, other than, you know, to, you know, these comments, which I don't like. I think Mattingly has done a pretty damn good job since taking over. The one area where he has, to your point, consistently seemed to have some issues is the bullpen stuff. And we know how important that is in the playoffs. I mean, I think the single biggest reason most Phillies fans wanted Rob Thompson gone was because of bullpen decisions that he made in the playoffs. You know, like, if they had to pick their biggest reason. So
Thompson was much better.
Yeah, he was much better. You're right. Yeah, I agree with that. All right, we're going to get to perfect deadline in a second. Shout out to the Homaville Inn. Today's show is sponsored by Miller Lite and the Homaville Inn. I think I'm saying that right. Homaville, H-U-L-M-E-ville. Homaville, right?
I said maybe Homaville.
Homaville. I think you're right. I think it's the Homaville Inn. So shout out to the Homaville Inn. Check out the Homaville Inn for every Phillies game and enjoy $3.25 Miller Lights, $4 Shandy Drafts, and enjoy their signature house-made chili Miller Lights for Phil's win. Celebrate responsibly. All right, going to get into the deadline in 1 second. I'm going to ask you one quick question before we dive in. how concerned are you about the Padres and just the general decreasing of the playoff lead for a wild card spot? Because obviously the Braves are pulling away, the Brewers, the Cubs, the whole thing.
Overall, I still don't have too much concern about them missing the playoffs. I think if they miss the playoffs, it would be because of them, not because of anyone else. If they miss the playoffs, it's because they crater and they can't pull themselves out of this and right the ship and figure it out. There's the teams behind them. I don't have much fear at all. I mean, the Padres have been up and down all year offensively. Now, Jackson Merrill's heating up. Fernando Tatis is heating up. Ty France has had a sneaky good year for them.
I always like Ty France.
I know. And they're getting Musgrove back and Pivetta. But I think they're what? They're 2-5 out of the break. So,
well, they won 5 straight, I thought. Hadn't they?
I thought I saw some of the 2-5 out of the break, but, you know, I could be wrong. But the teams behind them, at least as it stands right now, you know, the Nationals, they're kind of like they're hanging around, but can they stay in it? Oh, no, you're right. They're 7-3 in their last 10.
Yeah, I thought so.
So,
yeah, it's the Cardinals, it's the Nationals, it's the Pirates. I agree with you. None of those teams scare me much, but
the Padres,
it's just getting close. That's why I mentioned the Padres.
Yeah. No, it's 100%. 100%. And we'll see if the D-backs can hold on all throughout the year. They've been so hot and cold, and obviously when they can get hot, they're great. But I mean, the Padres have just had a weird year. But of those teams, they are certainly the team that you would be the most you're keeping an eye on.
I agree. And thank you for mentioning the Diamondbacks with the Twins and, you know, all these other teams that would have been great trade candidates that have just decided to turn it on right before the deadline. The Red Sox did it. Could not have played out more annoyingly in terms of like the buyer seller of it all.
Well, even the Astros.
Even the Astros. I know. And I have an Astro on my list. But
so
it's,
do I.
Okay, good. All right, well, let's dive in. Let's do a little perfect deadline. I will go first, as always, because I am the appetizer leading up to the main course in this. Sure. I have no illusions about what people are here for. I'm going to need your help with the prospects. I really just went for guys. I don't have a great feel for the farm system in terms of, you have a much better feel for the value of those guys on the market. All right, so I gave three options as an outfielder. I'm going to say my favorite, but I gave multiple options there. I did the same thing with relievers. I threw a couple starters in, but like I'm focusing on hitters and relievers in my perfect deadline. I know they need all three. They're not making all, I mean, maybe they can make all three happen, but I'm focusing on getting a bat and a reliever, potentially two relievers is what I'm focusing on with my perfect deadline. My top guy, pretty much all these names we've talked about over the course of this deadline, other deadlines moving up. But I have two guys in the outfield, and one is a clear trade candidate. The other is on a team that is, you know, in the American League and kind of competing. Heliot Ramos is a name we've brought up a ton of times. Can play both corner outfield spots. The thing about him is he has 3 years of club control after this. It might be four. Like, he is under contract. He's 26 years old. My guess is he costs a lot. So I don't know how viable he is, but the Giants will be sellers. He is someone who, again, plays both outfield positions, gives you some versatility, good fielder, good bat, you know, not a ton of power, but a good error. I think he's in like close to 280, something like that. Like, I really like Heliot Ramos. I just have no idea what he costs, Jack.
Yeah, it's tough because of the control that he has. I think he has
in the age, 26.
26.
He probably costs too much, right?
And listen, he doesn't walk a lot. Which, you know, this team is the worst OBP in baseball, and he has a 305 OBP.
You're right. So. That's a good point. 303 OBP for the team, so he's slightly better, though.
So, he'll fix the issues. But, yeah, I've always been an Heliot Ramos guy. I think there's been a little bit too much. There's been a big downturn in how people feel about him, but I still think he is he's a good hitter. And the Giants are a team that you could theoretically put together a package of, you know, Ramos if you want to go all in, right? If you wanted to push a gauge trade. You know, if you wanted to go Ramos, and then you could choose either Ray or Eric Miller, who would both make sense. But
yeah,
Ramos is a good name.
Okay. I mean, I'm not going to do a deadline and not, I don't know what the Mariners plan is. They're like three out or something like that, but they've been terrible. They're probably going to compete, but I'm not going to let a perfect deadline go without trading for Randy Arozarena, just out of like history, out of nostalgia. Respect. I mean, it would be perfect. Like, every year, if they had had Randy freaking Arozarena on this team, we would be having different discussions about this baseball team, Jack. Like, has anyone, if they could have just gotten him a few years ago, could have been more perfect? Like, it's such a shame.
He was the, it was Teoscar and him a couple years ago.
Yeah.
It was the 24 deadline, and they ended up not getting either one of those guys.
All right. Now I will go with the name that I think is most likely to come to the Phillies. I would not be super excited about it, but I guess he makes sense from the platoon perspective or whatever. But I think Lane Thomas is going to be a Philly if I had to bet. I know. I know. Would have been more exciting a couple years ago. That's not my priority. I'm just giving you what I think. My names are Ramos and Arozarena. Those are the two bats I'm going for. But the thing about Arozarena, too, assuming the Mariners, I don't know what the Mariners plan is, but it is the last year of his deal. He would be a rental. He'd be something you wouldn't have to give as much up for because of that. So I'm going for a potential guy you can control or a rental. Those are my two guys at outfield.
Yeah. And Lane Thomas does feel very Phillies.
Just feels it, right?
And his OPS against lefties is still good. It's hovering around 800. He does have 10 home runs on the year. He's got a hose out there in the field. So, yeah, I think I'll get to it. I think there's three guys that are Phillies. It's either going to be Varsho, Lane Thomas, or Taylor Ward.
Yeah, Taylor Ward was the other one I thought of, but I figured Taylor Ward would probably make an appearance. So I would leave Taylor Ward off mine. All right. I had two starting pitcher names. I didn't really go deep on the starting pitchers. I'm assuming you did some more work on the pitchers. I think the most likely guy out there, the name has been out there, but Brady Singer just makes a lot of sense. Oh, I'm not super excited about it. Tell me this. In the last year of his deal, there is an option for next year. I don't know that it's going to vest. Maybe there's some wiggle room there. It's a lot of money for the rest of the season, and he hasn't been good. What do you think? Like a Rosarena Luis Castillo package where they pick up money. Like Luis Castillo has not been good.
No.
Just done. He's cooked.
Well, I looked it up because I thought the same thing, to be completely honest with you. It's the money that I just hate.
So is the vesting going to vest? That's what I couldn't figure out. If the vesting is going to vest, but if I'm getting them both for the rest of the season and that's it, that's a different discussion.
It's a vesting option if he pitches 180 innings.
And he's only at like 95 or something, right?
Well, but the best thing is it's in 2028. It's not
now. I'm sorry. I read it wrong. All right. That changes everything. My bad. Yeah. I'm sorry. So he's signed through 27 no matter what.
For 28
something million. All right,
25 million, yes.
Forget I said it. I'm taking it off. I read it wrong. That's a bad job. All right. I'm going to get to my relievers. And I think there's one team and it's really upsetting. And you've mentioned it before, Jack. But I mean, you got to go after Mets, right? I mean, there are three Mets. I want two of them. I'm trading the Mets for Luke Weaver, your guy, who's been really good. He's got another year at $12 million. I think that's manageable, especially with the Keller issue. You're not going to have Keller next year. I think that makes sense to add Weaver and be willing to pay another year of it. I think it's a question of what you're willing to spend. I think AJ Minter costs less. I think Brooks Raley costs more. Raley is also in he is not signed through next year. So I'm fine with going in. This is kind of my theme with this, with a lot of these guys is I know they've talked about wanting club control. I don't care. I mean, I care, but if I'm making moves, I would rather give up less from a prospect perspective and have guys for the rest of the season and then figure out in the off season, than worry about trying to build my club moving forward. So I like the idea these guys are only on half year deals outside of Weaver. The name I said from the Astros, who I think is interesting, and he's been bad this year, but he is in the last year of his deal. And we know in the World Series, Brian Abreu whooped our butts.
Yeah.
He's been bad this year. He was great. This is the first year he's been bad. Like, I would be willing to see if the Astros would part with him in the half a season left. Another theme with me, half season guys. I know that's not what the Phillies are, but that's what I'm into. I think you could get Abreu for not that much from an Astros team that is in it, but not in it, in and out. I think there's at least a chance there comparative to what you would have paid a year ago.
Wow. Yeah, he has been horrible this year.
Horrible. Bad. Yeah. But he's Brian Abreu.
I know.
And it's the first year being bad.
Yeah, my fear with always that is first year being bad also like...
is the beginning of the end. He's only 29, but... I know. Yeah,
a lot of innings on that arm. A lot of innings on that arm.
And then again, I don't know what this would cost. You're going to have to kind of parse this out for me. But the last one, I feel like of all the guys I've said, this guy costs the least.
Okay.
He's on a horrible team. He's almost my age, Jack. I'll take Kirby Yates, man. I trust that guy more than I trust Seth Johnson or whatever. 39 years old. I don't care. Yates is solid this year. Finally bring him home. I mean, it's been like 8 years of us asking, 7 years of us asking for Kirby Yates to come here.
Nothing better. I'm always down for Kirby Yates.
He can't cost much. He can't. No, I can't imagine.
Brad Pacheco.
That's my point. So like, I want that type of, I'm philosophically, as you can tell from my names, like I am much more in giving up guys out of our top 10 prospects and packages of them or whatever. I'm willing to give up some good prospects, but guys who aren't the top end stuff for half years of guys rather than giving up Gage Wood for multiple years of guys.
Yeah. Well, and I think the Phillies, if I had to just read the tea leaves and say with my guts telling me, I think they're gonna make 4 or 5 trades.
Wow. Wow.
No, they're not gonna be, I think it's 4 or 5.
Like of what I'm talking about, like the smaller. Yeah. Yeah. Which is like, probably the smart move for this team. Honestly, I've been thinking about it so much, Jack, coming into this perfect deadline, just doing it in philosophically where are we at as a team. And we've talked so much about all in or not. I think it really is more on the margins. I don't think this team is good enough to bet your top prospects and, you know, give it all up. But I do think this team has a chance if you can make some smart moves. Again, let's not forget the best player on the team, arguably last year after the trade deadline, was a guy they didn't give up. Like, what did they give up for Harrison Bader? I don't even remember. I know you do.
Henry Mendez, please respect him. Please respect him.
But that's my point, right? Like, that's the type of trade they could make. They could give up that type of guy and get someone like Bader. And Bader could be as good for half a season as someone who gets costs a lot more. I'm not saying they will. You have to get the right guys. But it's not always the big ticket moves that end up being the best moves. To the point about Miguel Rojas before.
Well, and look at they have the 21 Braves. I'm not saying like the whole outfield.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
The Braves made 5 trades and they hit Jock, Duvall, Soler,
Rosario,
Soler. Richard Rodriguez.
Dude, that was the World Series MVP and the NLCS MVP. Rosario and Soler came from those deadline moves where they gave up nothing.
Yep. By the way, Henry
Soler,
Mendez.
By the way, Soler was on my list, but it's just like, where the hell you play him? But like, he makes sense too.
He stands in right field. That's where he plays. He stands there. By the way, Henry Mendez in AAA right now for the Twins, hitting .307 with an .837 OPS.
Oh, terrific. Thanks for that. Good, great. All right, well, maybe you can't get anyone for nothing.
Yep, exactly right. All right.
The moment we've been waiting for.
All right, so I have my perfect deadline and what I think will happen.
Okay.
I got to be honest, I think this is my favorite perfect deadline I've ever put together.
Oh, I love this.
I think I built a World Series team.
Oh, I love this.
Thank you. Yeah. So my first trade is I am trading Alec Bohm.
Oh, yeah. Hold on.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, go
what
ahead.
Did we get? Nothing. Anyway.
Great trade. You did it.
I'm trading Alec Bohm. Trading Justin Crawford.
Ooh. Ooh. Whoa.
I'm trading Andrew Painter.
Hold up, dude. What? You're doing what?
And I'm trading Cody Balker to the Houston Astros for Isak Paredes and Josh Hader.
Wow.
Take that.
It's a big boy move, buddy.
That's it.
I mean, Hader Crawford and Painter, gone. The two of the top three guys we talk so much about, gone.
See ya. I'm getting Hader for all next year. I'm getting Paredes all of next year. Paredes is an upgrade, you know, even in the field and at the plate. Isak Paredes, come on home. And it gives you a nice little stopgap so you don't have to rush back Aiden Miller. Paredes are bust. Anyway.
Do you worry at all about trading Painter? Crawford, I don't think he's like that much less of a value than he was before. He's been okay. But I would say that Painter, as opposed to the beginning of the year, whatever, his value is absolutely lower. Do you worry at all about like selling low on Painter? Or is this more of a, I'm concerned about Painter and Matt?
Well, it could be getting out while you still can.
That's what I mean. Yeah, that's why I was, yeah.
Yeah, so I think it's a little bit of both. I don't know which one I feel more. I don't love the idea of selling low on Painter, but also,
if he's not good, then you're getting what you can get for him. Yeah, I get it. The point is you're concerned about his future if you're making this trade.
Well, yeah. Yeah. I mean, and you can send them our version of Forrest Whitley while he still had talent.
You're right.
All right. The second trade. I'm trading Gage Wood.
Watch this. Okay.
Watch this.
Okay.
I'm trading Gage Wood, Brian Rincon, and Alex McFarland.
Oh man, the baby boys
to the Blue Jays for Kevin Gausman, Dalton Varsho, and Jeff Hoffman.
Whoa! I mean, you just remade the team.
So here's my
completely different baseball team now.
Oh no! So here's my case. Here's my case. Hoffman is on a pretty bad deal. And I think the Blue Jays are concerned about getting, they're not worried about shedding salary, but if they can get, I think they can shed 40 million or maybe like 30 some million, they can get, they don't, their draft pick won't move back 10 spots. So if they're going to lose anyway, they might as well shed as much salary as they can. So if Hoffman, you're taking on that contract, it should cost a little bit less prospect wise. I understand I put Gage Wood on, but you're getting Dalton Varsho, who I still believe is a platinum level.
Yeah, one of the best center fielders in the sport. Yeah.
So I'm getting that, and I'm getting Kevin Gausman, who is kind of like their version of Nola, who'll take the ball every fifth day, and he's not as good as he used to be, but he's still better than Nola.
Yeah, exactly.
He's definitely better than Nola. And Hoffman, by the way, since he's been removed from the closing role as a 1.33 ERA, he is still 90th percentile on chase, 90th percentile on K percentage. So there's a lot of good under the hood with Jeff Hoffman. So it's a hefty price. I think Brian McCrone's trade anyway. Alex McFarland is a reliever. Wood's the big one there, obviously. But, you know, I'm taking a chance. I'm taking a chance on getting three guys that I think would change the team. My next trade.
Whoa, buddy.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, we're going. We're going for it.
My next trade something.
Is Brad Pacheco, Pond, and Griffin Burkholder, other baby boy, to the Colorado Rockies for Jake McCarthy. So he is my.
Is that enough?
Maybe. I'm not sure. I'm not sure where Jake McCarthy's value is.
Yeah, there's still upside, but yeah.
And he hasn't been that good for the last couple of years until this year. Also, there's some rocky, you know, home road splits things with him. But if I go Varsho, McCarthy, Marsh in the outfield, it's a pretty damn good defensive outfield. So, and McCarthy's been really, really good at the plate this year. And then the final one, and this is just is for the sickos out there, is I am trading Matthew Fisher and Juan via Vincenzo.
For Mr. Minor League Minute guy, you gutted the farm, gutted it, just took a freaking like axe to it. What the hell?
Yep, Jackie Dombrowski. So Matthew Fisher and Juan via Vincenzo to the Orioles.
Ooh.
For Tyler O'Neill and Jordan Westberg. Now,
Tyler O'Neill, finally.
Tyler O'Neill, the reason why I think they
Jordan Westberg is the guy ever going to play?
No, but he could play. He could play. Theoretically, he could once again play baseball. But you're taking him on an ultimate buy low. He is going through Tommy John surgery. But man, when he plays, I think he is. I love him too. And Tyler O'Neill's owed $16 million for next year. I'm thinking it's going to be prorated anyway, so whatever. And he does provide me the platoon with him and Marsh in the outfield with a real right-handed power bat. So I believe I've built a World Series caliber roster. My bullpen is now Duran, Hader, Bolin, Kirkring. Good luck. My lineup, it has JT, Harper, Stott, Turner, Paredes, Marsh, Varsho, McCarthy with Tyler O'Neill off the bench. And my rotation is now set as well.
It's a phenomenal job you did, dude. Honestly, this is easily your best trade deadline ever. Now, to be fair, you gutted the system and you just said, let's go. Phenomenal.
But
very, very different from mine, which is like trade a little bit to get guys who are done at the end of the year.
but here's what I didn't do. I didn't trade Ramon. Aiden. I didn't trade Aiden. And I didn't trade Francisco Renteria.
All right. I think you did an amazing job. Last thing before we get out of here, because I did
well,
see
Well, I do it, have my what I think will happen real quick.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, real quick, because you mentioned Marquez. Are you concerned that Jason Stark said he thinks he's the player most likely to be traded on the Phillies?
I didn't see that until you just told me.
Tweeted it out. Yeah. So Alex Coffey, I think it was Alex, or no, Charlotte. It might've been Charlotte Furness, I believe.
No, Charlotte Barnes. Yeah. She wrote the Barnes. Piece on him.
That was her. Yeah. She wrote a piece and then Jason Stark quote tweeted it and said, I think Marquez is the most likely Philly to get traded.
Oh, well, awesome. The bridge on my way to work is looking more and more appealing by the second.
All right. So what do you think will happen?
So I would trade Gage before I trade Ramon Marquez. I want that on the record. Yeah. Anyway. Here's what I think will happen. These are my realistic trades, I guess. So this is my... So I think I would trade like Matthew Fisher, Alex McFarland, Brian Rincon, and then one of Bowker, Heredia, or Burkholder to the Blue Jays for Varsho and Hoffman. So I think, and Morosi just tweeted that the Phillies and Blue Jays are emerging as trade candidates. So, like, I think Hoffman's on the table. I think they want Dalton Varsho. If I had to guess of the outfielders they want the most, I believe that it's Dalton Varsho. And then Gausman makes a lot of sense. Bieber, I was ready to just throw my support behind.
Then yeah, just awful, awful. Nah. Maybe the worst start of his career, yeah.
Scherzer?
Quick question, though. If you do it that way, where does Crawford play? Because that if it's that trade and not Crawford getting traded for Varsho,
uh-huh.
Varsho would obviously play center. Where do you put – you move Crawford to right? Can left. You play left and then Martian right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Cool.
So that's what I think. I think they'll do that trade. And then I did like Via Vincencio and Pond to the Royals for Seth Lugo. I think that's...
When I put Brady Singer on here and Luis Castillo, I almost put another slash and threw Seth Lugo in there just because it fits what I'm talking about. But I didn't. But I thought about it.
Yeah, Seth Lugo is someone... He is like the... he is the middleman's, I guess, version of what I want them to do with Clay Holmes, where he can start, but also has pitched out of the bullpen and did for a long time.
Many times,
so,
yep.
So he is someone who could start and then go to the bullpen. And then the last one was just Brad Pacheco for Brooks Raley.
Dude, I want Brooks Raley. Like, yes. I think that makes so much sense. Half a season, like I said, at sub 2 ERA, like another lefty in here. Like, I really like that move.
Yeah, and Alvarado's heated up a little bit, so maybe he can still be your leverage lefty, and Brooks Raley can be in the middle there. I would also take Brazoban if they can find a way, and obviously Minter, Luke Weaver, we've talked about, but the Mets have a lot of pieces that I want, Clay Holmes being one of them.
You got me excited. I came in very bummed today, and you've lifted me up, Jack. Thank you.
That's the goal. That is the goal.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
The first few weeks back at school set the tone for the entire year. But with new teachers, schedules, and expectations, it can feel like a lot. If you're looking to help your child start strong and stay confident, I've been using IXL to make that transition so much easier. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts, from pre-K through 12th grade, it adapts to each child's level and pace, making it easy to spot and close learning gaps in just a few minutes a day before those gaps can snowball. Plus, it's trusted nationwide. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL, and it's used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. It's an easy, cost-effective way to get kids back into a learning routine and walking into class feeling ready and reassured. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. Listeners can get an exclusive 20% off an IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLlearning.com/audio. Visit IXLlearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Millions of Americans are looking for effective ways to manage their weight, but finding the right support can feel confusing and time-consuming. Orderly Meds offers a convenient online experience that connects you with licensed medical providers to explore GLP-1 treatment options from home. The process is simple. Complete your information online, connect with a provider, and learn what options may be right for you. No waiting rooms, no complicated scheduling, just a modern, streamlined experience designed around convenience. Visit orderlymeds.com/podcasts to learn more today. That's orderlymeds.com/podcasts. Again, orderlymeds.com/podcasts. One more time, orderlymeds.com/podcasts. Compounded medications are not FDA approved. Results may vary. Consult a licensed healthcare provider to determine if treatment is appropriate for you. Restrictions apply.
Can I do one thing before we get out of here? I know you got a couple
absolutely.
Minutes.
Yeah, I got a couple minutes.
Because it's turning into a thing. I love Zach Neto. I am concerned.
Me too.
As to why the Angels, who have no star power, don't have much draw, are willing to move and seemingly being aggressive about moving a guy that has 3.5 years left of team control, who has been one of the most productive shortstops in the game.
Offensively, at least.
Offensively. Like, defense is weird.
He's fine. He's fine. I'm just saying, like, when you're saying most productive, it's offensively you're talking.
Yeah. So Warmonger, who I love on Twitter, and he's a high hopes guy. He's convinced he's one of the better defensive shortstops in the game. Okay. Just from the standpoint of he's the best, I guess, at turning double plays.
Oh!
What? And then I guess DRS and OAA both like him a lot. So
okay.
I never watched Zach Neto and think that's Lindor.
I watched so little Angels, dude. Like, of all, you know, the second TV, the Angels find their way onto my second TV as little as any team in baseball.
Yeah, and I'm not staying up for much West Coast baseball these days. So it's just, it's more like, I hope that's true more than I know that's true about Zach Neto. I love the player. I think the case for it would be that he's young. He's been in a dreadful organization that he just might need a breath of fresh air. Maybe him not batting leadoff and instead batting fourth here or fifth would take some pressure off of him from the standpoint of, you know, he has to be one of the guys out in LA, and he's been asked to do that from a young age. Maybe coming here with a little less pressure, he can just go be Zach Neto, because he can go be Zach Neto, dude. I mean, that's a 30-30 guy. He has 30-30 upside.
Yeah.
I mean, he's done 25-25.
Oh, he's legit. He's legit.
But, man, it's just he has some chase issues. I watched one at bat last night. He swung at a slider 10 feet out of the zone. I was like, can't do it.
We would love that here. Yeah.
Can't do it.
Right in.
And it's going to cost a pretty penny for sure. If they trade Francisco Renteria in a Zach Neto thing, which Paston is suggesting that's what the Angels are looking for.
Oh, God, dude. I will not be cool with that.
I would find a new franchise. No interest. No interest. Yeah. So, like, if you want to trade Gage and Painter and, you know, make a competitive package without putting Francisco in there,
fine.
I'm fine with the upside play. There is some legitimate concern for me with trading for Zach Neto.
I totally agree. Quickly, because I got to go. But if they do trade for Zach Neto, does Trey just go to the outfield like right away?
What Paston said was Turner second base and Stott third.
Okay,
but then I don't know what they do with Bone. I mean, unless it's a deal,
he must be if they're going to do that, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
rats.
Yeah, look, Bone. I think any team will take Bone. It's half a season, right? Like, you know, just take him on. Who cares? But that is interesting. All right, I gotta go. We will be back. Who they have? They have Orioles. Oh, they gotta handle business, man. Seriously, can you freaking go into Baltimore and win some games? Right?
We'll see.
Two or three. Okay, I think that's fair. All right, we'll be back after the series. Until then, he's Fritz and Seltzer.
At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business. Like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say, "We're really doing this." But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world,
then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at Vistaprint.com.